following has been pre-recorded for your listening and dancing pleasure.
This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
This is Central Nebraska's most listened to all sports radio station.
We always parade winners around here.
From 1460 KXPN and 1550 KICS, you're listening to Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
All right, Nebraska breaks the huddle. Nate Turner wide right. Richard Bell slot right. Lonnie Kratzenstein tight end on the left. Eye formation with Tyrese Knox, the tailback. Knox gets the handoff up the middle. Hits a stone wall, bounces off and goes to the right. Picks up two. From the 25 to 27, and the tackle made by Reuben Oliver.
It's time for the Tri-Cities number one sports show. You're listening to the Doug and Daddy Show.
And it breaks up a second down play and eight for Nebraska, leading 63-35 with 5:16 to go in the game. Kratzenstein tied in on the right, wide left for Nebraska. Come, chip, ball. Man in motion, the pitch goes to the tailback. Tyrese Knox around the right side. Cut to the 24, Centrain, and Melvin Gillum on the top with the 26.
It's time for the Doug and Daddy Show.
Oh, yeah, baby. Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio.
I didn't know you were such a Tyrese Knox fan.
Oh, man, he was awesome. He was awesome.
When Goodell gets on here, we'll ask him about his greatest moment with Tyrese Knox. Maybe that would be... They just hang out together a lot, I'm sure.
Here's the deal. Radio guy, it's easy to pronounce the name Knox. Gadowski, Kratzenstein, Stein. What are you doing to me? Knox. There's only one way to pronounce it. It's not Canox or it's not Canokes. It's Knox.
Yeah, a lot less lettering on the back of that shirt, too.
Yes, exactly. No doubt about it. Doug and Daddy Show. Doug Dudamani Kratzenstein is in with me as today's co-host, and glad to have him along. Coming up towards the end of the program, Jerry Gadowski, a former teammate, now Vanderbilt tight end coach, recruiting coordinator. Of course, all the talk down there right now is going to be about the baseball team, but we'll find out what's going on with football. And being the recruiting coordinator, the challenges that he's got moving on from Ohio now to Vanderbilt as he takes that next step in his coaching career. We'll also talk with Andrew Ramspacker from the Daily Progress, Virginia Baseball, as we continue to preview the College World Series. But two things that I enjoy in bantering today with our buddy Scott Steinbrook, a Kearney High soccer coach. He's on his way to Brazil for the World Cup. But I will have to be, and again, here's the deal. I understand both sides of the fence. If you are anti-LeBron James, you're rooting against – you're not rooting for the Spurs. You're rooting against the Heat, okay? So That's a little bit like where I think I'm going here with this one, Monty, is that you want me to watch the World Cup. ESPN, you are jamming it down my throat because you are showing it and you are making money on it, and that is fine. That is great. But when the first game continues to show, I mean, what has come out? Qatar, we've got $5 million to bribe officials to get the World Cup in Qatar in 2022, and you have blatant cheating in the first game of the World Cup that favors the home team. Why would I want to watch this? I want to watch the U.S. I want to watch them do well, and it would be very exciting if they would upset somebody and do better than they're supposed to do. But I'm sorry, you're not helping yourself by putting controversy before 7 hours into the World Cup.
Don't haven't you realize now that people love controversy? They love that sort of stuff. They love the drama. They love the controversy. That's what's made for. It's made for TV action right there. You knew that was going to happen. It was going to come down to a call, don't you think?
And then here, as I'm saying this, here's an email that just comes across to me. My personal email. Every once in a while, we get AccuWeather. This is from. Anyway, here's the headline. Adidas designs new World Cup ball to suit Brazil's climate. So they've even got their own soccer ball? Imagine what they're going to do for Qatar when it's 120.
Listen, you mentioned Scott Steinbrook. We got to get him an in-the-field reporter. We got to get some of his reports coming live from Brazil because that guy.
He's doing Twitterverse. He's going to be doing it. Now, I'll even give the plug. He's going to be sending back reports for the Kearney Hub and the Lincoln Journal Star via Twitterverse.
That's awesome.
I don't know if they'll actually show a story, but a lot of that will be.
At what point will he announce that he is not coming back because of the funness?
He's in prison.
I was going to go the other way, and I was going to say he's found himself a nice Brazilian lady to hang out with on the beaches and talk soccer. See, that's where I'm going, and I think that's a possibility. He might deny it, but that might be the last we've seen of Scott Steinbrück.
First Nebraska coach to step down because we couldn't find him.
Oh, yeah, we could probably find him at some point. But hey, you want me to go over there and look for him? I can go down there and look for him sacrifice for the team.
I was talking about this with some of the gang in studio here today. They were saying how kind of neat it would be to go down there. I say, yeah, maybe. Not now.
Yeah.
Not during the World Cup. I mean, I'm listening on the news reports this morning and witnessing what they're showing us on TV. I don't need to be where they intentionally riot. I don't need to be there.
Yeah, I know. I know what you're saying. And that'll be fun to talk to him about it. See, because a lot of what you see on TV, is that really what it's like? Or are they just showing the pockets of that excitement? Or did he feel totally safe? And that'll be fun to hear.
Oh, they'll sensationalize the early, sit-ins and mini riots. I mean, 300 people. I also said, whose job is it to jump on a plane and go down there and riot? How much money do they have? Is this some kind of a government grant? What kind of life do you have if that's what you do? There's like professional protesters.
When I was looking for a new gig a couple of years ago, I didn't happen to send my resume to any of those people. Maybe that should. I'm not real controversial. I probably wouldn't have got selected for that job.
You could have sat, though.
I'm a good sitter. Are you kidding me? I sit in a pickup. I can sit. Oh, okay.
let's talk a little NBA, because I know you're a big basketball fan as well.
Uh-huh. I am. And I am. Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, I was listening, and I didn't want to listen to the professional that said San Antonio is just the better team, and they are going to win this series. And it's not that they're beating Miami. They are thumping Miami, and if they make a couple of free throws in game two, they may have swept this series. And that, to me, is astounding, because we all know how good the Heat are. Correct. And San Antonio had a little competition coming through the West. But if they win at home in game five, this is dynasty. This is one of the best franchises ever. You got to quit just saying Celtics, Lakers, Bulls. You have to include the Spurs, because they have beaten an outstanding team. Now in basketball, they're making teams like the Yankees used to in baseball. I mean, they're buying teams now in basketball, and the Spurs really haven't done it that way.
No, they haven't. And for basketball purists, that's what we like. We like to watch a game. We like to see ball movement. We like to see sharing of the ball. We like to see role players. We like to see that. And on the other side, don't blame the NBA players for what free agency has created. In other words, everybody wants to talk about the past and, the Michael Jordans and what the Heat have done to be successful over the last few years. And I'm not saying I agree with it, but it is what it is. I love the fact that the Spurs haven't done that. They built it a different way, and it's appealing to a lot of the masses. Now, I don't really understand. I shouldn't say understand, but I don't really get the LeBron James hatred or the anti. I don't get that. I think he's a great player. I think he's the best player in the world. They're losing to a better team. What do you do in the third quarter? I mean, how do you put that? Say, they talk about the LeBron James legacy and how it'll be tarnished because of this. How did he do in the third quarter when they needed something done?
No, they were able to at least, but they've dug themselves such a big hole. I mean, you can be down 15, you can't be down 25.
But it wasn't him that caused that, or he was doing everything. And that's my problem. I'm not a fan, but it speaks to chemistry. It speaks to what we as coaches and as again a purist like, is we want the better team to win, and the guys that do things right and the team that does things right. We want that to happen. So I like it. Now, having said all this, it's 3-1, right?
Yeah.
They have to win another game, right?
Yeah.
Okay. But I know. Oh, I know. But if I know anything about sports, it's not real predictable, especially the NBA. So who knows? They might, some things might shock everybody.
I'm going to shock you with this.
Hit me.
It's over.
That
it's
is
over.
That
it should have been over last year. It should have been over last year.
Should've.
Spurs should have won it in game six. It's just this was their mission, and they're going to win, and they're going to. I mean, I think it would be really cool if Miami won on Sunday just to extend the series, give us some more sports. The more sports, the better, in my opinion. Something big to talk about instead of just baseball in June.
Yeah, well, I hate it because last two games have been no fun to watch. That's why I don't like it. And then that's as a bystander, I'm not a huge NBA guy. I'm not gonna watch a blowout. I'm not that into it. So that's disappointing.
And I think you'll see Popovich. Oh, he's a great coach, and Spoelstra's just an idiot. Well, you know what? That's not necessarily the case.
No.
They shut down Duncan and Ginobili last night, and they got burned by everybody else. That is what is amazing to me, is that, yes, the Spurs may have outcoached the Heat, but to do it the way they did it last night, everybody, I mean, you got guys you've never, I mean.
They took turns leading.
Oh,
they just
guys
took
you
turns.
Never heard of.
Yeah, they just took turns. And that's what we like about it, is the guys, like, you know, for a while you don't call Ginobili's name, and all of a sudden he makes about three straight plays that you're just shaking your head going, wow. And then, you know, then it's Parker's turn, then it's Duncan's turn, and then guys who, you know, before this series started, you know, the guys were looking through wondering, who are these guys? That's fun.
Well, Tim Duncan only had 10 points in the game last night. Ginobili had 7. The team scores 107.
Yeah.
So they get 90 points from guys that you couldn't have named.
Yep.
Besides Tony Parker. Parker had 19. Guys you could not have named when the playoffs started.
You talk about, you know, the Miami coach and getting out coach, whatever. Don't forget what happened the last 2 years, though. But that was why, because they bought the team. I mean, they're in a no-win situation, right? If they lose, it's because they're coached terribly, they're selfish, and all these sorts of things. If they win, it's like, well, yeah, we bought the team. So, yeah, they're in a no-win situation.
You're a well-rounded sports fan as well. Monty Kratzenstein joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show.
Yeah,
I'm. We're golfers.
Yes.
We like to golf.
Yes.
We like to watch golf.
Yes.
Martin Kaymer, I remember them talking about him at the Masters, and then for some reason nobody brought him up this week, is that his game might be back to where it needs to be. He's got another birdie. He's 5-under through 14 today. He shot 65 yesterday. He's at 10-under. He's 8 clear. Say what you want, Monty. These guys like Phil Mickelson and the boys that tee off this afternoon, if they look up and go that, hey, I did good yesterday, and I'm 8, 10, 11 shots back, that is way too monumental of a hill to climb.
In the U.S. Open.
Yeah,
in the U.S. Open.
Kaymer struggles.
And there he's in danger of running away and hiding, which in the U.S. Open, how often does that happen? I mean, 8 shots difference is phenomenal. The U.S. Open is about the course conditions year after year after year. He's threatening to make it about one guy's performance, and so far over 2 days, he's been phenomenal. I don't like it. Is it? I asked Jeff earlier when I first came in, is it okay to cheer for a guy to shank it a few times? I want a packed field. I want drama, but you cannot deny he's getting threatening to run away and hide right now. Although he just hit one, and one hand came off the club, and so see, we go.
And he's on the free, and it trickles in. Now see, when our golf ball locally goes into a bunker, just trickles over the edge. It doesn't run 15 feet into the middle. It just stops.
And you know what? The other thing is, when I hit a ball into the knee-high stuff, I don't have guys looking for it with me. Even my playing partners, they're sitting in the middle of the fairway going,
I don't
just
anymore.
Drop another one, take a penalty stroke.
I don't anymore.
I know.
It's not so much finding the ball. I know if I find it, I can get it out of there. I have enough
wrist
strokes the way it is.
Wrist tape. When you're starting to tape up your wrist with athletic tape before you go to hack away, that's when you know you better. And by the way, being from Gothenburg and working in Gothenburg, been to Wild Horse lately?
I heard it's good.
You better go now, because they burned off that rough, and you can actually find a ball and hit out of it. But with this rain, you better get there early, because now's the time to hit it.
There's nothing wrong with whacking it out of the Wispies in Gothenburg.
Would you?
But I think NBC has decided that they might put a sniper out there and bring down Martin Kaymer, because their television ratings will be horrid if he goes into tomorrow with an 8-9 stroke lead.
It'll be good in Germany.
Yeah. if it was Tiger or Phil, people would watch, but
yep.
not Martin Kaymer. Martin Kaymer. Doug Daddy Show here at the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Had a lot of fun last night in Hastings at the Tribune Classic, and Just when you see a bunch of senior athletes moving on from their high school career on to college, doesn't matter if they're playing in the Shrine Bowl for football or any of these all-star games, it's good to see some good competition. And last night it went all five sets, 16-14 in the fifth, so it was close the whole way. The South beat the North. The South had the Morgan Nicola leading the way from St. Cecilia. She had 9 kills last night. Danny Most from Giltner, Alex Meyer, Superior had big games. For the North, it was the Northwest tandem of Katie Plocky, who had a match-high 15 kills, and Aaron Sorhan, who had 7. The Wood River gals stood out as well. We had Hope Lambrick getting 3 ace blocks last night. Tonight, they have the first annual Hastings College All-Star Boys basketball game. Numerous players from the area will be there, 7:15. Tomorrow, the coaches' All-Star duel, Grand Island Senior High at 1, followed by the Hall of Fame banquet and awards ceremony at the Heartland Events Center at 5, and then tomorrow night in Omaha, the Shrine Soccer Classic, 5 and 6:45. I'm surprised they're going up against the World Cup.
Yeah, although the excitement of soccer, you know, the excitement of soccer right now, maybe it's a good time to do it because people are talking soccer. I'm even talking soccer. Yeah, well, see?
That's enough of that. Coming up, Jerry Godowski, Vanderbilt assistant football coach, former Husker. He may know my co-host. And Andrew Ramspacker from the Daily Progress is going to join us here in the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth, where Midway continues to see Midway Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram, and Midway Chevrolet, Buick, Cadillac. The Dodge 100-year anniversary. Check out the 2014 Avengers. Over $5,000 off from the manufacturer. Get 35 miles to the gallon. Can you do that anymore in anything that you don't plug in? You can do that with great vehicle selection at Midway. The new 2015 Chrysler 200 has also arrived at Midway, and be sure to capitalize on the all-new vehicle rebates and incentives. And folks, Midway Auto Dealerships have always enjoyed hosting social media contests, so they've given away a variety of great, great gifts, and now Midway is going to have some outstanding contests coming up over the summer on their Facebook page. One lucky winner will win a Kawasaki Vulcan 900 and a free skydiving package courtesy of Atlas Skydive. And it'll all be part of the Buffalo County Fair and their sponsorship of that. Midway Auto Dealerships, it's more than just buying new and pre-owned vehicles. It's having a little fun as well. Go to thinkmidway.com. You ride bikes, choppers, motorcycles, no. Dirt bikes?
I pedal. I pedal bikes. I gotta. When you get older and you can't run like you used to be able to,
you
or play basketball,
you start. Bike, don't you?
No, I don't. I took the training wheels off last week, so I'm moving on. No choppers, no bikes. I broke my ankle once when I was like 13 years old on a motorcycle and said no.
Ew. Well. I don't want to talk about that. We'll take a break here on the Doug and Daddy Show, but there are so many celebrations going on this weekend, so much to do. We hope you enjoy whatever local celebration you might be attending, and one of those might be the Anavar Tractor Pull and Anavar Days going on this weekend. Tractor Pull tonight at 7, Saturday at 5 o'clock. We have one final pair of tickets to give away, so you'll have to pick them up at our Kearney studio today. So make sure that if you do win the tickets, you will be able to pick them up and utilize those. But we do have one final pair of tickets. You can use them for tonight or tomorrow at the end of our Tractor Pull. If you've not won anything this week, give us a call, and we'll give you a pair of tickets. 888-455-ESPN. We're going to take caller 3, 888-455-3776. College World Series talk when we come back.
Come on in, let the games begin.
Hi, this is Jeremy from HK Sports Bar and Grill. Or you can call it Hastings Kino. You can call it plain Kino. My point is this. We aren't just your daddy's Kino parlor anymore. We're a new restaurant. I mean, the building's in the same place, but it's a new restaurant. The faces are different. The menu is different. Atmosphere is different. Everything's different. It is a new restaurant. If you haven't been here lately, you haven't been here.
Come on in. Let the games begin.
Protecting them is something you've always done. It is something you will always do. But sometimes it's complicated, and you may need a little help along the way. Parents, take a stand and visit us online at positivepressure.org for answers, tips, and support about protecting your child from alcohol abuse.
Powered by Buffalo County Community Partners.
Honestly, the first thing I thought was I might be out for a long time if I don't get this checked out, because I heard a pop in my ankle. And so I came here, It's like having a second set of coaches. They want you to get better, just like your coaches want you. They push you. It feels really, really good to get over something. It's kind of like winning a football game. It's something that you love the feeling of it because you're back to 100%, and then you're back to playing again.
Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, with locations to serve you across central Nebraska.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
Health insurance is changing. You have new options. But which one is right for you? As authorized independent agents for Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska, Farm Bureau Financial Service agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers know health insurance and can help you understand your options and the differences between them. Contact Rich Peters and Matt Myers and see how they can simplify the process and help you select the right health insurance policy for you and your family. Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska is an independent licensee of the Blue Cross and Blue Shield Association. Securities and services offered through FBL Marketing Services, LLC, affiliate Farm Bureau Financial Services.
Here's your WeatherEye forecast powered by weatherology.com. Sunny skies and strong winds at times today. Highs top out near 79 degrees. A slight chance for showers and storms developing tonight. I'm Phil Jensko. Right now it's 68.
Doug and Danny Show, Central Nebraska, the ESPN Radio Superstation. Okay, do you know where you are on one side of the fence or not? Doug Udomani, Kratzenstein. But always love the work that the guys at the World Herald do covering the College World Series. And some of it's about the baseball team, some of it's about the town, some of it's about the atmosphere. But, you know, okay, let me just, it's a three basic five sentence, I guess. What is it? One, two, four sentences. And the last one doesn't even matter. Omaha police have received a $15,000 grant from the Nebraska Office of Highway Safety to enforce alcohol-related laws during the College World Series. Police say they will be specifically enforcing minor in possession and open container laws. The crackdown will start Saturday and wrap up June 25th. Oh my God, those are the days of the College World Series! Police say they plan to conduct 10 operations around TD Ameritrade Park. Don't print that crap in the paper. Tell me what I can do. Tell me what I can't do. Can I tailgate or can't I tailgate? By saying the open container, okay, are you going to come up and tell me I need a koozie, I need to put it in a cup, I can't do it all together, get away from here? But if you're going to walk in where the party atmosphere has been for 50 years and you start hauling people out of there for something that they have done their entire life going to the College World Series, that is a major problem.
I have a hard time disagreeing with you. Where's the line, right?
Yeah, just let us know.
We'll follow the rules, but you got to tell us what the rules are. And if this is the rules, then we're going to have to change the culture in the areas over there.
And the cool thing is, for the most part, I mean, it's in almost every place. It's not just Nebraska. It's illegal to drink in public. Tailgating before a Husker game doesn't change that. The law didn't change. You just do it. But you're not supposed to be an idiot about it either. Mm-hmm. So if they're just saying, all right, we're going to put this out there as an awareness so that you just don't walk in being an idiot and that you already know it, that we're going to take care of you if you are, that's fine.
So they should issue something that says, don't be an idiot?
Yeah, that'd be
tough.
That'd be tough.
Can we get Brent Musburger on the line here? We can talk about this. I think he has some opinions.
Yeah, well, he got hosed over too. It's just, what do you do?
And I'm not a guy who sticks up for Brent. Don't get me wrong. But
I like Brent.
I don't have any reason not to, except I get tired of him talking on TV. Is that so wrong? I'm not saying he's bad. I just get tired of
him. No, that's fine. That's fine. There's certain people we all like and certain people we don't like. I'm just glad you come in here every once in a while.
It wasn't anything that you said that offended me. I wasn't offended by anything that happened in here. I just been busy. It's just
no, God, busy. No. Hey, also keep an eye on the weather. Every game of the College World Series here on ESPN Radio today. Beautiful down there. Great day. I know Coach Day is down there with Bubba, his son. He goes, Bubba's what, 5? Maybe he's turned 6 by now, but I think he's still 5. He might be 6. Plays baseball at the age level of a 12-year-old. But he says,
his mom's a good athlete.
Yeah, well, duh. 3 or 4 years or however long he's been old enough to recognize what's going on. They've went down on this Friday, and It's free. It's open to the public. All the teams practice. The opening ceremonies are tonight at 8:30. Then tomorrow, that first game, Texas and Irvine should be fine, but they're talking about major storms rolling in over the eastern half of the state tomorrow, and it'll be pretty amazing if that Vanderbilt-Louisville game gets in, which could back it up to a triple-header Sunday, which could be cool.
Sure.
But just kind of keep that in your thoughts if you're planning to go down.
Have a plan B, right? Yeah. Have a plan B.
You know who's happy about that?
Who's that?
The people across the river. Those are the happy people. Oh, no. What are all these 22,000 people that were going to go to the College World Series that are staying in Omaha going to do?
Are you saying that they have gambling across the river? Is that what they have?
No, just have fine dining in Council Bluffs. The Old Market Fun as well. Man, found a couple of places that have just opened up there in the last year that are pretty cool places to eat.
Hey, it's a great environment down there. It is. College World Series or whether you're going to concert or Creighton basketball. We used to live down in Omaha. You know, when you live someplace, you never take advantage of what's down there. When we lived in Omaha for so long, we hardly ever went down the Old Market. Now, of course, with the stadium, we're always down there for some sort of fun. It's a great atmosphere. Same way with Lincoln, though. I mean, it's the exact same thing with Lincoln. What they've done to their downtown area in that arena,
yeah,
it's good.
It's good times. But if you're not traveling, if you're staying home and watching everything or chasing the kids around or doing yard work or just enjoying the weekend with Father's Day on Sunday, then Troutman's Quality Meats wants to make sure you've got something good. All the beef at Troutman's is USDA Choice Certified Angus Beef, and their quality steaks are aged a minimum of 30 days for peak flavor and tenderness. Father's Day's here, and if you haven't picked out a gift yet, we'll get him the best, a Troutman's steak. Maybe a gift card. Carrie has every type of brat available, so pick up his favorite. Chili cheese dogs are always a hit. Try some jalapeno cheddar, summer sausage, and snack sticks. If you're not sure what Dad likes, the gift card in any denomination is perfect. And then Dad will smile. He goes, these guys don't really know what's good. They think they know what's good. Dad knows what's good. Troutman's Quality Meats, a grill's best friend, Highway 30 in Kearney. And happy Father's Day to my dad and all the fathers out there. I don't want to forget about that. Any plans?
Baseball. That's what we do. On the weekends this time of year, baseball tournament Lincoln. That's why we got a plan B too in case it rains us out. We play 2, maybe 3 games on Saturday, get into bracket play on Sunday, and that's what we do when you have a 14-year-old kid playing baseball.
a lot of baseball going on, and with the tournaments being hosted, Kearney, Hastings, Grand Island, if you go to the field, you're going to be able to find some baseball. Also, next Tuesday, want to throw this out. Duncan Field is officially going to reopen. They are done. All the remodeling, all the renovations are done. And because of that, there will be a special ceremony Tuesday at Duncan. So the seniors are going to play early. They're playing Kearney. So I know they just played this week, but that was in Kearney. So Kearney's going to go to Hastings, and the senior game will be first at 5:30, followed by the juniors, and we'll have complete coverage. Mike will have the games on 12:30 KHAS. And I saw that he said, outside of TD Ameritrade and Haymarket Park, this is as good as anything else.
Yeah, it's a blast. We were supposed to play a 14-year-old tournament there about 3 weeks, month ago, and it, of course, wasn't done. They had scheduled it a year ago, and thanks to construction and all that problem, we didn't get a play. But I was really looking forward to that because that's what a great facility. Yogi, who's hit baseballs out of there? What's the tally of how many home runs have been hit over there? Yogi Berra is on the list. Greg Olson is on the list. Maybe Daniel Bruce from Millard West / Nebraska. I know those three. I don't know of the others, but somebody probably will.
It was very, very, very few until I don't even know during the live bat era. I think a couple more got out of there. Yeah. But yeah, it's a bomb to get one on the street and then have it roll across over to Big Daly's Deli there over the right center field wall. Are you a Hard Knocks guy? Do you watch Hard Knocks on HBO?
I do.
So
I like it.
Interested this year if they had to follow Cleveland or Atlanta?
I don't really care who they – I don't care who they follow. I get tired of certain – I get saturated, get tired of certain things. I'm tired of I don't want to follow Cleveland because I'm tired of Johnny Manziel, and that would be the show, so I don't want that. I got tired of the Dallas Cowboys. I apologize. I got tired of that for a while.
A lot of people, even Dallas Cowboys.
Well, I hate to pile on. I don't want to get 15-yard piling on penalty here. But I think it's fun. I always enjoy watching the Hard Knocks.
Carpenter, the lone setback behind Jerry Kadowski, the quarterback. Looking pass, setting up a screen. They go to Carpenter. He gets away from Salavia and cuts back to the middle. He's got room inside the 40. Inside the 30, he's going to score. Nebraska on the first play of the day for Nebraska. 51 yards and a touchdown.
How many times did Nebraska score on the first play against Colorado? Because Amon Green did it once. I think it might have also been 51 yards, maybe 57 on a pitch play around the left side. But Jerry Gadowski will join us towards the end of the program today.
On that play, we were in film that week before. It was out of a spread set, four wide receivers with a fullback. How often do you see Nebraska in that in 1989? And fullback screen over there, first play of the game. Now that's and Coach Osborne says, fellas, you know, if we run this right, we think we might score. Then now go to when Amon Green was a freshman, your game you're talking about. I was down there, happened to be visiting. I think, if I'm not mistaken, Jerry might have been a GA down there. Anyway, I was down there in the film room a few days before, and the big talk was we are going to score on the first play of the game because it was a new set. It was an empty set. It was something different. They hadn't shown it all year, and I literally told a few people, I says, hey, first play of the game, look out. They got something going, and it looks just like a basic option play to everybody else, but because of the formation, because – you know, Tom Osborne doing what Tom Osborne did forever, and they score in the first play of the game. So that's fun stuff.
That was Jim Nantz, CBS Sports, who I always thought hated Nebraska. And a guy that didn't hate Nebraska.
Oscars with the ball at the 48.5-yard line. Left side hash mark, spread set. Gadowski, the quarterback, takes the snap, drops straight back to throw. Off the left side, it's complete, and it's Carpenter. Inside the 50, the 45, the 40, the 35, the 30, the 25. He's going to go. The Huskers. Touchdown. 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 Touchdown.
That was a 4-touchdown. It's usually a 3-touchdown. That's same, Kent Pavelka.
Same play.
And I chuckle because if you listen to it again, because you're talking about it, how that you're through to the fullback, and you can tell that Pavelka sees the completed pass and doesn't say who it is right away because he's going,
what
in the hell is that? Listen to this again. Listen to this.
Oscars with the ball at the 48.5-yard line. Left side hash mark, spread set. Gadowski, the quarterback, takes the snap, drops straight back to throw. Off the left side, it's complete. And it's Carpenter.
Complete.
It's complete. Who the hell's 29? Carpenter.
What's he doing catching a pass?
What's he doing in the game?
Oh, you'll have to add. And the other part about that is Carp came off. Coach Osborne, every time he talks to Carp, he gives him bad time about this. Carp came off the field and hyperventilated. And I'm not joking about this.
No.
He hyperventilated, oxygen, air, the excitement of scoring first of all. He wasn't any good until halftime. I don't even know if he went back in the game for it because he was over there panting on the sideline, couldn't catch his breath after scoring the touchdown.
It's Rocky Mountain High, baby.
I was on the – because we had no tight ends on that play, I was over on the sidelines trying to wipe the beer off myself from the pregame when the people throwing beer on us during pregame.
Yeah, Colorado. Stay classy, my friends. Andrew Ramspacker to talk Virginia baseball in the College World Series when we come back.
Since the dawn of time, the land has been nurtured, first by the hands of nature and then by the hands of man. Farming is a way of life here. Today's farmer has a feel for the land, a knowing touch that shows in the riches of the harvest. And for years, they've depended on CHS Agri-Service Center to help them. CHS is a locally owned and locally controlled, so the people behind the counters and on the phones are the people you've known for years, people you can rely on. There's a CHS Service Center near you, and always here at chsagri.com.
You'll have fun, fun, fun when you make it Funner Park.
Make your weekend with fast horses, live draw keno, fantastic food, and full bar. Where else but Fodder Park's Finish Line Restaurant and Sports Lounge? Bet on the best thoroughbred racing from 20 tracks, including fabulous Belmont Park. Non-stop action starts at 11:25, and you can stay over for choice Angus prime rib and Twilight Racing at the Finish Line, Grand Island, number one for food and fun.
People from all around are talking about how the new Refirm Now is changing their lives forever.
I lost 79 pounds. My energy has increased and I'm even more toned.
I believe this is the perfect product to give you the energy and motivation to lose weight. I actually cut my body fat in half.
Refirm Now is the biggest weight loss breakthrough in years. Helps with stress, more energy, fat burning, your appetite, and the best body toning ingredients.
I have never felt better. Just take the step and get to complete nutrition.
So, if you want the strongest fat burner to hit the market since ephedrine, you need Refirm Now. Found only at Complete Nutrition. If you lose more than 10 pounds in 10 days, please contact your Complete Nutrition consultant.
Find Complete Nutrition in Grand Island just north of Gordman's off Highway 281 and in Kearney just north of Sun Mart on 2nd Avenue.
Look!
Now is the time to start training for this year's Nebraska Senior Games. Seniors ages 50 and up will have their chance to test their skills in a variety of different sports and activities. Track and field, golf, basketball, bowling, swimming, tennis, and many more. This year's games will be held August 7th through the 10th in Kearney. This is the 25th anniversary, a year you won't want to miss. Sign up by going to NebraskaSeniorGames.com for registration forms. The 2014 Nebraska Senior Games, where competition never gets old. Get in the game at NebraskaSeniorGames.com.
It's that time again to dust off the bikes and head to Upland, Nebraska for the 13th annual Faces Rally, June 13th through the 15th. Events being held during the rally include a fun run, bike show, bike games, hog roast, the band Area 52, vendors, and other activities. The rally is focused on raising money and awareness for the National Craniofacial Association. Find more information about registration at facesrally.org. The 13th annual Faces Rally in Upland, June 13th through the 15th. Don't miss out. Brought to you by BBLC Digital Outdoor Kearney and Aurora Co-op Agronomy Division in Upland.
Can't believe that it all comes down to this, and this is something that I've waited for all my life, waited for my whole life, and now it's two men gone, batter up,
let's go!
Ready or not, Omaha, Nebraska, Omaha, Nebraska.
Doug and Daddy show, check it out.
Jeff's got his happy game, happy music game going on today, doesn't he?
So great, he's happy, happy, happy.
Good stuff.
We'll see what kind of celebrities show up in Omaha besides Monty Kratzenstein over the next 2 weeks. But glad to have him along with us here as a co-host. And that was our Midtown Mark Cooler question over the last 24 hours. Who is your pick to win the College World Series? I have the odds here in front of me.
Do you have odds? Really? You?
Anything.
You have odds on something? That's shocking. Imagine now, that. Wait, is this question who we think is going to win or who do we want to win?
No, who are you picking? 33% took Virginia, 22% said Louisville or Texas, so we must have some alums. Also some votes for Mississippi and Irvine. Nobody took Vanderbilt.
What?
Who is the second choice. According to Bovada, Texas Tech is the longest shot at 14-1. Irvine and Louisville, 8-1. TCU, 6-1. Mississippi, 11-2. Texas, 4-1. Vanderbilt, 3-1. Virginia, 11-4.
Hmm. Yeah, I like
that. I picked early in the week Virginia and Vanderbilt.
Based on pitching?
I kind of thought would be the two
defense
that get to
and
the
pitching
finals.
Stuff.
Yeah, somebody's got to hit the ball, though. And maybe that's the key. Texas Tech's one of the teams that have hit the ball. They throw – I mean, yes, it was College of Charleston, and they swung at every breaking pitch they threw them. But can they get any offense? And
UCLA didn't have to last year.
I still in the pit of my gut, though, as much as I said this too. I can see Texas winning the first two.
Really? You say that with some disdain in your voice. Is
we
there?
Like Augie Garrido, who was with us on.
How
Wednesday.
Do you not like Augie? That's a moral
I don't
dilemma.
Like Texas.
That's a moral dilemma right there. You've got Texas, who is Texas, and it's easy to cheer against them. They're hated.
That's
rival.
Me.
Blah blah.
That's
you.
Me.
See, that's not me. I don't. But Augie.
That's not your persona,
Augie.
Though.
Well,
do you cheer? Hold on.
Oh,
do
yes.
you cheer against anybody?
Oh, are you kidding
that
me?
That is not an opponent of Nebraska football.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I couldn't cheer for John Calipari if you paid me money.
Okay.
In college, there's and
is there anybody you cheer against for non-ethical reasons?
Oh, non-ethical?
No, I'm just saying he's not. I can see, you know, guys like that going, well, he's just not a good person and cheats and has been caught at it. I mean, there's people out there.
You might have seen through my – I don't hide that very well, do I? Yeah. You're exactly right. If someone's a good person and a good guy, I have a hard time cheering against them. I'm with you.
Okay. Our Midtown Mark Cooler question for the weekend, what are you most looking forward to watching or listening to this weekend? NBA Finals, the Stanley Cup Final, Game 5 tonight, the U.S. Open, World Cup Soccer, College World Series. I'll rank them. For me, one is going to be the U.S. Open. Two is going to be the College World Series. Three, you know, I'm almost more tempted to say the Stanley Cup tonight. If the Rangers would win tonight, I think I could almost put hockey ahead of the NBA, but I'm going to put NBA third, Stanley Cup four, and World Cup. I'm not even sure that'll grace anything.
Really?
If the United States is on, fine, whatever. Which one for you?
I'll rank him as to Titans 14-year-old baseball is number one because I don't have any other choice, and I'll be at first base coaching. That's number one. Number two is College World Series. And even early, it's College World Series. U.S. Open is third, but except if Keimer keeps running away from it, that'll drop down. I won't watch hockey except in highlights, or if they go into overtime and at a place where I can watch it. Once they go into overtime, I'll admit that. World Cup. Scott Steinbrück listening right now? Is he on a plane?
Duh, he's listening.
He is.
He's always listening.
He isn't Dirk Bentley doing it drunk on a plane. He isn't. He wouldn't. Anyway, I'd go World Cup last if I'm in a comfy chair with my feet up, just kind of watching it in the background.
Well, you can vote on our Midtown Mark Cooler question at ESPNSuperstation.com. College World Series preview all week long. In fact, it's all season long, but we're finally here. We're one day away. The teams are practicing at TD Ameritrade Park. It's a beautiful day in Omaha. Fans can get in for free and take the kids, and everybody's having a good time. And then tomorrow, baseball gets underway with the Texas and UC Irvine, and we'll have every game right here on ESPN Radio. But one of the games that I think a lot of people are very interested and intrigued in, and maybe on the field will be the best matchup, some people are saying, and that's Virginia and Ole Miss in the opening round. And to talk a little bit about the Cavaliers, who were preseason number one in quite a few polls, we're joined by Andrew Ramspacker of the Daily Progress. Andrew, thanks for the time, and welcome to the Doug and Daddy Show. How are you?
Good, good. Just, I'm taking in Omaha for my first time as well, so having a good time so far. Thanks for having me.
I was going to say, it might be early, but just give me your impressions of what you've seen so far.
Yeah, well, you know, yesterday it was, you know, just kind of flying in and things like that. And didn't get to see too much. I know the team went right to TD Ameritrade, so I haven't been able to pop in there yet. But, I went out to, I think, Bellevue East High School, I believe, where Virginia was practicing. And, you know, kind of gets a lowdown. You know, I only joined this beat a couple of years ago, so I missed out on 2009 and 2011 when Virginia was here the last time. So, fortunately, I'm here with some experienced Omaha folks when it comes to UVA baseball in this place, including Brian O'Connor, obviously, who has been well documented, grew up around this area, went to Creighton. So, he's a pretty good tour guide.
Yeah, Andrew, and Coach O'Connor. Sometimes coaches just kind of beat around the bush, and he was not beating around the bush after they won the Super Regional. He was very high on his team. Many people think the 2011 squad was the best that Virginia has ever had, and he thinks that this team could surpass that. Now, whether that comes to wins or losses or not, but were you surprised, and were some of the Virginia faithful surprised to hear him say that?
I don't think so. When you look at the timing of that statement was pretty good because it paired up with a couple of days after the draft had ended. I mean, you look at this team and it's got six guys drafted in the first eight rounds. That's some talent right there. And you got a sophomore pitching rotation in terms of, well, three of the four guys. When you look at Nathan Kirby and Brandon Waddell and Josh Spores, I mean, those three guys are top 10 round picks next year. You know, a guy like Nathan Kirby, I think, is a surefire first-round pick. So there is a serious talent level on this team. That 2011 squad, I'm actually writing this story here for tomorrow's newspaper, kind of comparing the two. But, you know, that 2011 team was good, there's no doubt. You know, they did better in the regular season. They won an ACC title. You know, I think they won more games in the regular season, stuff like that. This team was preseason number one, and I'm not going to say they underachieved during the regular season, but maybe they weren't as impressed as people thought they would be. They weren't really blowing people out. The offense was struggling a little bit. You know, last year they batted 312, but the team won the ACC batting title. This year they're down to like 279, and people are kind of like, you know, what's going on here? Well, they hit a switch in this postseason, and the way they played in the regional round, the super regional round, they have finally reached that potential, I think, of what everybody thought they would be in the regular season. And, you know, you throw it all together, you look at the draft picks and break it down position by position. This team's got an edge, I think, over that 2011 team. And, you know, 2011 went, you know, 2-2 here. So obviously this team's goal is to go a little farther.
Andrew Ranspacker of the Daily Progress joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show, talking a little Virginia Cavalier baseball. And you mentioned the draft, first time the Cavaliers have ever had three players go in the first round.
Yeah, yeah. You look at, you know, obviously a guy like Nick Howard, who was basically a utility player for his first 2 years, extremely talented, played the left side of the infield last year while, you know, being in that starting rotation on the weekend was the Sunday starter. This season, with so much depth, I think him moving to closer speaks a lot to the pitching depth. They were able to do this, take him out of the rotation, made him a closer, and God, he's just been dominant. I mean, you look at a fastball that can get up to 97, 98, a really good slider to back it up with, and it's certainly improved the stock. I mean, obviously, the Reds taking him number 19, and then the guys after that, talking about Derek Fisher, then Mike Pappy. You know, for Fisher, he was a sixth-round pick out of high school and, you know, chose to come to college instead. And I think as soon as he arrived at UVA, you know, there were some serious expectations on him, obviously a big power hitter guy. And for the most part, he's lived up to it. Now, it's interesting. He's never hit 300 in his college career. This year, he might have, but he did have an injury, you know, a hamate bone injury that sat him out for 25 games. But he's turned it on this postseason, and then Mike Pappy is as good as a college hitter as I think the ACC seems in a little bit. I mean, he won the ACC batting title last year. This year, he won the home runs and RBI title. Really, really just consistent player at the plate. In one way or another, he's going to get on base. I think last season he was number two in plate appearance, or excuse me, on base percentage in the country. So just a couple of really legit left-handed bats. In that lineup, they bat 3 and 5, and you know, sometimes they're really tough to deal with for opposing pitchers.
And as you mentioned, Nick Howard, another award for him today, or at least he's a finalist for the John Olerud Award, two-way player. And I think we're actually seeing a little bit more of that around college baseball this year with all the folks that we've been talking to. But as far as what this baseball team does well, everybody at the College World Series team ERA seems to be impeccable, and a lot of that's between 2-1 and 2-6, and we know that the offense in baseball is way, way down, and you mentioned Poppy's got 11 home runs, 10 doubles. I see from a stat sheet that Virginia is pretty successful when they want to steal a base. What else does this team do well?
Well, obviously you mentioned the ERA and stuff like that, but Virginia baseball, sometimes it frustrates fans a little bit, but they are not afraid to play small ball. I think if you look at the opener of Bucknell, the first game of the NCAA tournament in the regional for UVA, they won that game 10-1. Nine of those runs were unearned because they just kept laying down bunt after bunt after bunt, and Bucknell could not field them. They really put pressure on the defense. They're very good at moving runners along and things like that. It's always been the Brian O'Connor way. He's been doing this for 10-plus seasons, and it's worked. So despite all that power I talked about between Fisher and Pappy, you know, don't be surprised to see them lay one down this weekend. You know, that's kind of the way they do it. It's a small ball type of strategy. And obviously in this big ballpark, you know, that can work. You know, Virginia plays in a similar type of ballpark to Davenport Field. The dimensions are pretty similar. So they're used to, you know, playing with that style. And I won't be surprised if they keep it up here at Omaha.
We're talking another couple of minutes here with Andrew Ranspacker from the Daily Progress about Virginia baseball. Andrew, when they lost the first game of that Super Regional to Maryland 5-4, what was the feeling? And you've been talking about the switch that they got turned on here. What weren't they doing well that they did besides just making some contact?
Yeah, I think, well, you go back to that loss, you know, Brian O'Connor said going into the game two of that Super Regional, he's never been more calm. He was just so confident that his guys would bounce back. And I think the reason why is because that offense just was clicking. They just didn't bring anybody in. You know, they had, I think, 9 or 10 hits in that 5-4 loss in game one of that Super Regional. And, you know, they came back in game two and had 17 hits. And in game three, they had 13 hits. So I think combined against the Maryland staff, it's pretty good, pretty strong rotation. They had 39 hits in that series. And so I think it's some of it's that offense that's clicking. And then, you know, the calling call of the year, obviously, is in the pitching. You know, Nathan Kirby in game one of that Super Regional had his worst outing of the year. He was a little rattled. I think he only went 4 2/3 innings. It's the only second time all season he hasn't had a quality start. He hasn't gone a full sixth inning. So that's a little shocking. So how does he recover? We'll find out. I assume there hasn't been any announcement yet, but I assume he does pitch Sunday night against Ole Miss. So, you know, but it's just complete right now. So the team is really, really complete. The pitching has stayed at that same elite level that it was at in the regular season, and the offense has kicked it up a notch and has shown to be one of the best lineups in the country, which people thought it was going to be going into the year. It just didn't live up to that during the regular season. But, man, these last 2 weeks, they've really hit the ball well.
Well, the storyline for this opening game is pretty simple. I mean, it's the established power now in Virginia against the new kid on the block at Ole Miss. What do we know about Mississippi?
Mm-hmm. About Ole Miss?
What's your thoughts on that first-round matchup?
You know, another SEC team, obviously they haven't been here in quite some time. They've been knocking on the door and things like that. You know, for this group of Virginia players, you know, they'll have an appreciation for Ole Miss, there's no doubt, because they saw their big rival down in Starkville last year come up to the Charlottesville Super Regional and really take it to them, Mississippi State. So, you know, they know all about the style of play down there. They know they have a really strong pitching staff. As you mentioned, every team here, ERA is just ridiculous when you look at it. So, you know, there'll certainly be a respect there, but it is interesting. You look at the, you know, how Virginia is now a veteran to this, and Ole Miss hasn't been here in a while. And I think the symbolism to the whole thing is in 2009, Virginia had to beat Ole Miss in the Super Regional to get to their first College World Series. And now here Brian O'Connor is 6 years later with maybe his best team ever to potentially win a national championship. And obviously the first roadblock is to get through Ole Miss. So kind of a full circle type of game, and you know, if we're all looking forward to it Sunday night.
Everywhere I look, Andrew, the odds makers have made Virginia the favorite in this College World Series. Is that something that they're going to embrace?
Yeah, I mean, they've embraced it all year. When you're preseason number one, that target's been on your back, you know, from opening game. And, you know, they, for the most part, they've dealt with it pretty good. I mean, 9 of the 15 weeks in the Baseball America poll, they stayed number one. They never dropped lower than 3, I think. So I don't think that should be an issue for them. You know, they've almost, yeah, like you said, they've embraced that spotlight. And when you have a veteran club like they do, I'm talking about, you know, basically 7 juniors in that starting lineup in or out, you know, and some sophomore pitchers that, you know, got a lot of time as freshmen. So they're a little maybe older than sophomores. You know, you can handle, I think, those expectations a little better. And, you know, this is Virginia baseball. There's expectations every year now. You know, with Brian O'Connor at the helm. So, you know, them being the favorite, I don't think it should be that much of an issue or distraction. I think it's kind of old hat to this point of the year.
Andrew Ramspacker, Daily Progress, giving us the latest on Virginia Cavalier baseball here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Hey, Andrew, thanks for giving us some time this morning, and hopefully we'll get to run into you during the College World Series in Omaha.
Yeah, look forward to it. Thanks a lot.
You bet. Thank you, Andrew. Doug and Daddy Show. Roll it on here. If you're out and about, Big Daly's Deli, just like Duncan Field, going under some remodeling going on in Hastings. Don't forget to stop by across from Duncan Field as they're working on the downtown location. Also, Top of the Hill here in Kearney for the best sandwich in town with a bazillion choices. You can put your topping on, choose your bread, choose your sandwiches, choose your combo meal if you want to do that. And Big Daly's Deli is the place to be. 3905 North 2nd Avenue in Kearney. And, of course, downtown Hastings and across from Duncan Field. Jerry Godowski when we come back.
Today, buyers need the OneRocky.com edge. Finding out first is what gives you the best chance of finding the right home. Carney's best real estate website just got better with customized listing notifications sent right to your email. As soon as a new listing meeting your criteria becomes available, you'll be notified. Log on to OneRocky.com and get signed up now.
Yo, this is Rocky. My customized listing service is not junk email. We don't even collect data. It's just my way of putting you first in the hunt for the right home.
Put Rocky Geyser in your corner because he cares. OneRocky.com.
Play ball!
Great fielding and solid hitting start with the right stuff from TM Sporting Goods. Choose from brands like Louisville Slugger, Rip It, Mizuno, and Wilson. All the summer sports are made better with the right apparel and equipment from TM Sporting Goods.
Save!
Then roll in the expertise provided by Steve Varinall and Tino Martinez. TM Sporting Goods on the bricks, downtown Kearney, a division of Protein Design. Every sport done right.
Doug Duda here for Prairie iNet Wireless Internet. Name two things you hate worse than unreliable internet service. I can't even think of one. Thank goodness we have Prairie iNet. I love these guys. They're local, so if there's ever an issue, you can talk to real people in our country. I called Prairie iNet to handle my internet service because the service is notoriously reliable, they're local, and best of all, Prairie iNet doesn't make you sign a contract ever. What does that say about Prairie iNet? That they don't force you into a contract? You know that they'll work to earn your business every month. You'll love your service with Prairie iNet Wireless Internet. No risk, no contract, and the switch was so easy. One call and their professional team had me surfing in no time. Plus, if you mention my name, you'll get your first month free and a six-month membership to Netflix. What are you waiting for? Call Prairie iNet, your internet provider. 308-535-1858. That's 535-1858.
Moments when you're out there and you're learning about yourself and you're learning how you can handle it. You wonder if you can handle it.
The 114th U.S. Open Championship from the legendary Pinehurst Resort and Country Club in the village of Pinehurst, North Carolina.
Oh, that's it! It's a fist bump for Justin Rose.
Who will be crowned our national champion?
Coverage Thursday and Friday begins at 12 noon on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
All sports, one source, two stations, KICS Hastings, KXPN Kearney, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
I wanna love somebody like you.
Monty, I figure if we're going to Nashville, we've got to have some country music on the show today.
Well, you know, that's a good choice, especially my wife is listening. I think the only reason, not the only reason, but one of the reasons she would go down to Nashville with me was in the hopes of meeting Keith Urban. So we got that. I'm holding that carrot out to her. Oh, by the way, there might be a football game down there that we can go to, too.
You think you got a better chance of meeting Keith Urban in Nashville or Australia?
Oh, I think he's Goodell's neighbor, if I'm not mistaken. We'll have to ask him about that. We'll see. I doubt it.
Former Husker, and he has been up and down the coaching chain and now has a new home in Nashville with Vanderbilt in the SEC. Jerry Godowski joins us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. And, Jerry, you know, hey, I'm a little afraid almost to interview. Last time we interviewed you, and you get a pay raise, and you move cities, and you got a promotion. And heck, next thing I know, you're going to be coaching in the NFL.
Yeah, you know, that's true. It's been kind of a crazy 5 or 6 months. You know, really things are just kind of starting to settle down. You know, the boys just finished school here in the last week or two, and we'll be finally making the trip up here to Nashville this weekend. So it'll be nice to kind of get settled and get the family here, and hopefully at that point it will kind of start to feel like home.
Well, let me ask you, in the food chain of coaching, to move, obviously, from Ohio to Vanderbilt, to move from the MAC to SEC, I mean, that's pretty obvious. But tight ends coach, recruiting coordinator, off of coming from an assistant head coach, was there ever a doubt in your mind that this was the move you wanted to make?
Not really. There wasn't much of a question. You know, I loved Ohio. Working for Coach Solich for that long was a great experience. And really, the biggest thing for me has always been about, you know, working for the right people and with the right people. And, you know, I was fortunate enough to to really work with and for guys that kind of came through the Coach Osborne tree, you know, most of my career. And with Derek Mason, you know, we worked together a couple different spots. He was with us at Ohio for a couple years, so, you know, I knew what kind of person he was and the kind of program he would run. And so really there was, you know, no question when he called that it was time to make a move.
Jer, Monty Kratzenstein here. I don't know. I've heard about you. Interesting talk. Finally.
How you doing, Monty?
Oh, nice to meet you, Jerry. Maybe we'll talk again later. Hey, I got a real – I'm a hard-hitting media guy today, so I got to ask you a question.
Oh, boy.
Doug, I didn't tell you that, you know, now that he's at Vanderbilt, he's, you know, the press guy had said, hey, we need a list of submitted questions because, you know, this stuff is off limits. And so I, you know,
nice.
Always, you know, those Fremont guys, they're high maintenance. Oh, no. You know, by the way, Jerry, we did have Chip on here a few months ago. So the bar set pretty high from an interview standpoint.
Understand.
Yeah,
I
know. In all sort of seriousness, recruiting coordinator, did you have when you you guys were hired late in the recruiting process and all of a sudden you're thrown into that role, and did you have I'm in the SAC moment at some point there? Are you still having them or as you went through that whole initial process?
You know, it obviously is different, just here in the last, you know, few days we've had, you know, guys make decisions that we were one of maybe three schools that they were still considering. And, you know, it's Alabama, Georgia, Vanderbilt, you know, so a little bit different than, you know, Ohio, Toledo, Bowling Green, you know, when you just look at the big picture of it. But, yep. You know, the reality is it's not that different. I mean, you're still trying to do the same things to convince a young man that your school is the best place for him and the best fit for him. You know, so in the relationships you're trying to build with the kids and the information you're trying to get to them, it's not that different. Just the names, obviously, have changed a little bit.
Well, if you've got kids like that, then obviously you're in the right high schools and you're talking to the right kids if you're in that list. And I'm sure that's a big part of it because it's a step-by-step process,
and
right?
I really think we are, you know, and I think with really what, you know, Coach Mason, when he was at Stanford and going through there, what they've done, and you look at the success of really Northwestern and what Vanderbilt has done here before we got here the last couple of years, Duke last year. I think it's really, you know, for a kid that is a truly great student, that now those type of schools are things that interest them a lot, you know. Mm-hmm. So I think it's, you know, the timing for us to be here at Vanderbilt, I think it's probably great.
Talking with Jerry Godowski, he is the tight end coach recruiting coordinator. What does it mean at Vanderbilt? What does it mean to be a recruiting coordinator now as opposed to, I mean, when you started at Ohio, New Mexico State Day? It's just so much different. The rules are changing. The NCAA is starting to realize that. I mean, I would think you could just, instead of being called recruiting coordinator, that would be pain in the ass job. I mean, there's got to be satisfaction at the end of their career, but boy, things are so different today.
Yeah, they are, and I think they're going to, you know, obviously they're going to continue to change here. You know, obviously the climate in the NCAA and you know, certain things I think are going to continue to change, and it'll definitely be interesting to see, you know, what things are like, you know, maybe even as soon as here in a year, to see what the landscape out there is like with regards to, you know, some different recruiting rules and just the way things are going to change.
As Doug was talking about that, he left out a very important chain along that line of Brookings, South Dakota.
No doubt.
By the way, probably still some of the biggest mosquitoes I've ever seen in my life while working football camp with you up there. Almost got carried away during the evening 7-on-7 session. And then down in New Mexico State, when I still had a little bit of hair and coaching an advisor, I think I got third-degree burns working that camp down there. So, yeah, Hey, you mean you're
now
saying...
Now it's the humidity in Nashville, Monty, that you'll have to be careful of.
Well, I'm a good sweater. I mean, I can sweat with the best of them, so maybe we can... We'll work something out somewhere down the line. You mean you're saying that when the recruiting process has changed, you don't see Coach Osborne and Dan Young and Milt Tanniper getting on Twitter with kids?
Yeah, I mean, it is crazy, the social media aspect of it and the internet and, you know... how the timing of things has moved up so much. You know, there's obviously kids that are just going to be juniors, some kids that are just going to be sophomores that you hear about getting offers and that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. And all the attention on the internet, it's definitely changed a lot since Coach Osborne and those guys were out doing their thing.
Bo Pelini last week or 2 weeks ago, he commented that, and a kind of off-the-cuff comment, he was talking about how he would like if there wasn't a national signing date where there wasn't one day that as soon as you know, a kid commits, you can go ahead and sign him and go from there. You have any thoughts on that?
I'd have to think about that. You know, my initial reaction would be that it certainly would slow things down a little bit. You know, I mean, if people... I think the atmosphere now is everybody throws an offer out to a kid just to kind of get in the game and maybe get them interested in their school, whereas they may not actually, that kid said yes, if he wanted to come, they might slow him down at that point. Mm-hmm. So if as soon as you offered a kid, he could sign on the dotted line, I think that, you know, people would probably hesitate a little bit more as far as, hey, is this a kid? If he says yes, I'd really want to have sign on the dotted line today.
Well, I personally think that the recruiting and then re-recruiting and the soft commit and then decommit, I can't imagine what that would be like. I think it would just drive you crazy because, you know, in the business world, you know, what you do is you go out and you try to sell something. Once you sell something, you get a contract and you get it, and then you move on to something else. And I was just, you know, it was an interesting concept I hadn't really heard much before, but, you know, I'd be for it.
Yeah, that is interesting. I'd have to think about that. It would be interesting. You know, Coach Mason just talks about, hey, once a kid commits, that's when the real recruiting starts. Yeah. At that point.
Welcome,
you know,
to
that,
welcome
that's
the
when
SEC.
It's really time to go to work.
Jerry Godowski's with us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Let's ask a point-blank question. What do you got at Vanderbilt? What have you found? What are your expectations going into the fall?
Well, I think the expectations are high. You know, I think, you know, they've had a couple good seasons. I think we have some good players. We've got some experience, especially up front on both sides of the ball, which is going to, you know, obviously be very helpful. You know, we have inexperience at the quarterback spot, which is always, you know, the position that you really need to play well and come through if you're going to have a special season. And so, you know, we'll see how that all works out, but, you know, we're excited and hope to have a great year. You know, right now we're undefeated at Vanderbilt.
Wow.
So you can't get much better than that.
Can you give me a T-shirt that says that? is that possible to get that early on?
I don't know.
My kid walked out of the house today to go to conditioning and lifting over at Kearney High wearing a Vanderbilt baseball cap and a T-shirt. And I will tell you, Doug, that neither of those came from the actual Vanderbilt college. They were bought and purchased from our own thing. So there is no funny stuff going on right now.
Okay. I believe you. I want to ask Jerry another thing here. The SEC has decided to stay with what they're doing conference scheduling-wise, and they're catching, that as far as the number of conference games, that's fine, in my opinion. But the cream puffs that – everybody schedules, and I know that's not nothing you guys can do about immediately here, but I mean Old Dominion and Temple and Charleston Southern, just your thoughts about the scheduling and how that'll play out in the future if you guys continue to be successful at Vanderbilt.
Yeah, you know, right now I've got enough worries about just trying to get the tight ends to block the right people and line up right and do all that. That, to be perfectly honest, I haven't thought a whole lot about that situation and that stuff. And I think it, as coaches and especially as assistant coaches, you know, you kind of put your head down and focus on, you know, what you have to accomplish that day in spring ball and who our first opponent is. And, you know, so that's stuff that I guess is above my pay grade. And
oh, no.
I'm not going to worry a whole lot about.
Oh, no. Come on.
I will, for those of the people listening in Nebraska, can you talk a little bit about people that would recognize that are on that staff? You know, when Derek came in there, you know, he obviously had some experience in a lot of different places and had some experience. Can you talk a little bit about the staff and maybe some names or some connections that those of us in Nebraska might have?
Yeah, well, you know, Kevin Leitner is our offensive line coach. You know, Monty and I played with Kevin way back a long time ago now. And he's been, you know, we've been together for over 10 years now between New Mexico State and Ohio. So that would probably be the main name, you know, people would recognize. Our offensive coordinator is Carl Durrell, was the head coach at UCLA at one time and has been in the NFL, you know, for the past 6 or 7 years, something like that. You know, so those would probably be the, you know, the two names, I guess, people around there might recognize.
Jerry, before we let you out of here, now that you are down there in Nashville, have you changed your wardrobe? You got some boots? You met any famous people? Give us a little social time down there.
Yeah, not, you know, no boots yet.
Come on.
I really have not met any famous people yet. I have, you know, did go to George Strait's last Nashville concert here a month or two ago. So I guess that, you know, he was on the stage. I didn't really get a chance to meet him. That's but okay. I have heard, you know, people that I've talked to, people that work at Vanderbilt, you know, their kids played baseball with, you know, Vince Gill and Amy Grant's kids and things like that. And
love
Amy
it.
Grant would get Amy Grant would always wonder when rehearsal was for baseball the next day.
Costume changes in rehearsal. Yeah. That's
yes.
Well, I'm gonna tell on you a little bit that Jerry was never really known as much of a country guy. I don't know if I've ever seen Jerry in boots. Jerry's taste in music probably isn't that way. I think we were talking the other day on the phone. He was talking about these concerts that are these things that he had opportunities to go to, and I'm like just dying, thinking this is great. Jerry's like, I know there's some Eli Young band of some sort. I don't know. I'd heard some of their music, and I'm like, wow, this is so. You know, I like to live vicariously through my friends, Doug. If you don't know, hey, one last thing. I know, you know, Vanderbilt, the big talk around here right now. CWS is Vanderbilt baseball. You got any insight or any thoughts on Vanderbilt baseball?
Yeah. You know, I've been able to watch them play a fair amount here in the spring, and I think our pitching has to be, you know, as good as anybody around. It's very deep, you know, in the had a freshman, you know, the other day in the third game of the Super Regional, you know, come out of the bullpen and pitch 5 or 6 innings, and he's, you know, he's not even one of the main guys. You know, mm-hmm. and finished out the game. So I think if their bats can get hot and stay hot, they'll have a great chance to make a little bit of a run there.
And Jerry Godowski, he's calling for it. Vanderbilt national champions.
I'm cheering baseball. For him. Told me I'm picking. I've got a reason. Hey, and I'm a little bit disappointed. First of all, your Twitter game needs to improve a little bit, Jerry. You know, all you're worried about is these recruits, and you're leaving your buddies hanging with your Twitter. But you know, I sent Mace a Twitter trying to get him you on that private plane up to Omaha, and I said, you know, I'll buy steaks if you guys show up there for a game.
Yeah.
So let's see if we can work that out. He hasn't responded back to me yet. I'm a little disappointed, Derek.
That would be awesome. That would be awesome. My wife may not be very happy if she got to Nashville and I left the next day. But
well, she can come. I'd rather see her than you most of the time anyway.
Well, that's true. Yeah, I know that. There's no doubt.
Just tell her to run up here. Just tell her to run up here. Just tell Sammy, run right up here. Hey, Jerry, we'll let you get back to work. We always appreciate you dropping by and chatting with us on the Doug and Daddy Show. So best of luck this fall, man.
I appreciate it.
We'll see you.
I don't know. Man, I don't know about you two. I don't know about you two, Polack Germans.
That's my dream is just, you know, this is a good chance to get him to call. Usually he's on the road. He's texting back and forth. When he was at Ohio, he had a lot of the West Virginia area and our cell phone coverage. We never finished a conversation because he was up and down. But in all seriousness aside, you know, he's as class as they get. And you know, he's an easy guy to be friends with and cheer for, and he hasn't changed a bit, and I wish him all the best because he's earned what he's gotten right now.
Well, to give us a reason to cheer for somebody in the SEC finally. There you go. Don't forget, folks, U.S. Open coverage coming up next, and when the heat is beating down on your crops, T&L Irrigation Systems are there running continuously with their hydrostatic power and have been for over 60 years throughout every state in the nation and 65 countries worldwide. Many pivot control options, including the TL Precision Point Control 3. You can control the speed, direction, end gun, and auto stop locations with GPS or encoder position sensors right from your phone, wherever you're at, your computer at home. Closed loop speed control for maximum uniformity and safe control as well. Contact your local T&L dealer today or go to TLIRR.com, their worldwide headquarters in Hastings, T&L. Irrigation. Martin Keimer, back-to-back 65s, the biggest lead after two rounds, 36 holes in U.S. Open history, six shots by a couple guys you might have heard of, Tiger Woods and Rory McIlroy. They went on to win it. Right now, with half the field still to play, eight-shot lead for Martin Keimer.
I apologize to Martin, but I'm cheering against him. I'm cheering for everybody else. I want a tighter race.
You're gonna call Keimer wins it right now? Here's your fantasy 1,000.
Oh yeah,
you're gonna take Keimer or the field?
You know, I'm always gonna bet the favorite, especially when he's got that big of a lead.
Hey, a couple other notes. Congratulations to UNK's Cole Manhart. We knew that more accolades would be coming. A first team preseason All-American by the Sporting News and Lindy's. He was the only unanimous All MIAA pick last year. Big NFL prospect. Plus, in those polls, Northwest Missouri State is preseason number one. UNK gets to start there on September the 4th. Pittsburgh State, Emporia State, Missouri Western are also rated. NCAA track championships with a little local flavor continuing in Eugene, Oregon. We told you about all the all-star festivities that are going on over the weekend. Nebraska Danger wrap things up at the Texas Revolution tomorrow, and then the playoffs begin against Colorado next week. A very slim chance that they get to play at home. We want to thank Jerry Godowski, Vanderbilt recruiting coordinator, tight end coach, for joining us on the show today. Also to Andrew Ramspacker from the Daily Progress out in Charlottesville, Virginia, for joining us on the program. Of course, Bobby Krasensteins team.
I don't know why I don't do this more. Maybe it has to do with this work thing, but I have fun. Fun time.
The paycheck here. Oh, let me get that between the couch cushions. Enjoy your baseball this weekend.
Thanks,
buddy. Go Titans.
There you go.
Folks, we'll be back on Monday with more College World Series action. U.S. Open next, College World Series all weekend long here on ESPN Radio. Happy Father's Day out there, everyone.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game over.